You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, I'm all set to go tonight, and I'm enjoying your raisin oatmeal cookies. So thanks so much for making them.
Yes, the oatmeal raisin cookies.
Oh, whatever.
Are very
and
good.
The
cinnamon spice tea.
Yeah, I like it with honey.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind this evening, young lady?
Well, bad behavior.
Who's bad behavior?
Well, pretty much everyone's bad behavior recently, don't you think?
Well, yeah. We always, start out with a little politics from time to time, and I'm seeing so much bad behavior on the part of the Democrats. It's just, I think they're all going nuts.
Yeah, this is really an interesting election cycle. We had two debates recently, and I think that they were both really interesting, and I want to talk about them for a second. So the first debate was between Martha McSally, the Republican in Arizona, and Kirsten Sinema, the Democrat in Arizona. Kirsten, by the way, used to be a Green Party activist, and so she's running as a Democrat, and I actually am not too sure right where the polls are. I think that they're very, very close, both of them, right now. And
Arizona is starting to change, unfortunately, and just my impression, becoming a lot more like California. I think what's happening, and I get scared of this for Texas, because we're seeing a lot of Californians moving into Texas. You know, they leave the state because of whatever reasons, that they're dissatisfied with the state, or they're, going to be retired and they want the tax benefits. And then they go to Arizona and they start to screw it up, just like they screwed up California.
Well, that's true. And I'm also afraid of that for Texas as well, because we do have a lot of Californians coming this way, and we are some of them, but we were very conservative all our lives, and we were conservative in California. So it was a real breath of fresh air to come to Texas. But in this particular debate, it was interesting because a lot of things came out that I think are kind of crazy. You know, we've heard a lot about Kirsten Sinema saying that, the citizens of Arizona are crazies. And she said a few derogatory things, but some new things came out that I wasn't aware of. And one of the things that she did is she protested our troops while she was wearing a pink tutu. And it was rather disrespectful. And don't forget that Martha McSally was an Air Force fighter pilot. And, so that kind of doesn't set well with her. The other thing that she did, which I think is really a betrayal of our country, is that she felt that it was okay if somebody here in the United States wanted to join up with the Taliban and go over and fight with them. And I don't think by any means that that's okay. In fact, people have been prosecuted for doing that.
I can't believe what's called treason because we're at war with them. But I can't believe some of the things that come out of these people's mouths, and they think no one is listening, or they think that they're talking to their base. And I'm just curious to see how much of their base is really changing and becoming as radical and as dangerous as they are.
Well, I'm really hoping that that's not the case, because there is definitely a segment of our population that's getting very, very radicalized. And, it's not just in one direction. It's in both directions, because there are people that on the white supremacist side also that are trying to make inroads into the Republican Party, just like the socialists are trying to make inroads into the Democratic Party. So, we've got a whole big mess going on here.
Well, Linda, speaking of debates, wasn't that debate with our Senator Ted Cruz and the Congressman Robert Beto O'Rourke very interesting?
It was very interesting. Well, O'Rourke came out tougher this time than he did at the other debates. I think that his handlers told him he needed to be tougher, and so he came out really kind of blasting Cruz. But you know, I mean, the stark difference between these two, if you just kind of put it in a nutshell, is Cruz is for the tax cuts. He's for getting rid of Obamacare and recreating something that works for everybody.
He's for the wall.
He's for the wall. And O'Rourke is, he's talked about impeaching Trump. He is absolutely for open borders and not for the wall at all.
And very anti-law enforcement. You know, I thought it was very interesting that 171 sheriffs in the state of Texas, including 8 Democrats, are all lining up to support Ted Cruz, and nobody is lining up to support Beto O'Rourke. And I'll tell you what, my impression, having watched an hour of that debate, was that there was no comparison between the experience of Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke, I think, who comes out of a congressperson out of El Paso, Texas, where there are tremendous problems.
Well, and there's the other thing that O'Rourke wants to do. I mean, really, he wants socialized medicine. So he wants
universal health care.
Universal health care.
Single payer, which is, you know.
And
us.
It's all the things that we don't want. So I would say that everything that he wants is everything that we don't want. And I actually am surprised, very, very surprised in Texas that the polls are as close as they are, although Cruz has now pulled ahead.
I think he's about 9 points ahead.
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll be much more ahead, because that's the way that it should be. But I'm just really surprised that he's even anywhere in the ballpark, because what are we talking about here? Is this what people in Texas want? We have big problems in Texas with illegal immigration. We have problems with child trafficking.
Oh, child trafficking, narcotics, illegal alien crime, violent crime.
Violent crime, sure.
Is horrible. And I think, by the way, you know, Governor Abbott, who's, you know, coming up for election as well, is just doing a phenomenal job there, you know, just to give him a plug. And I think he's going to be a shoo-in for another term as governor. But isn't it interesting to compare and contrast people like Ted Cruz and Governor Abbott against, you know, Beto O'Rourke, who tries to push himself off with a name, a made-up name, to make himself sound Hispanic. And he's everything that most Texans that I know are against. And to see those two candidates be so close, and, you know, some people would say, well, you know, 9 points is not close. I disagree. I think it is close. But just to see that, I would think that Cruz would have been 30 points ahead of this guy. But it shows how even Texas is changing, and we see that with the campaign signs for Beto O'Rourke in our own ranching community out here.
Well, and one of the reasons is because he got a lot of Soros-backed money. I mean, a huge influx of money.
Absolutely.
At the beginning of his campaign.
Yeah, I think they dumped about $6 million right away into that campaign.
So that let him, that put him out kind of, you know, out of the barn first.
You know, I have to say, I think, I could be wrong, but I think that Ted Cruz got caught sleeping. And he's been playing catch-up football for the last few months.
I think that that's probably true. But I want to kind of bring up a bigger point to you that I've noticed, Ron. I don't know if you've noticed it, but a couple things that I've noticed in the debates across the country with the candidates. The people that are the moderators of the debates continually interrupt the Republican candidate, whoever it is, and they do not interrupt the Democratic candidate.
You know, so interesting that you mentioned that, Linda, because that was a thought I had. I don't think I shared it with you when we were, you know, watching the debate, but that I'm looking at, you know, the guy and the woman that were the moderators, both from different television stations or something. The guy was obviously the liberal guy, and he would cut off, you know, Cruz. He would let O'Rourke talk more, and I thought it was very biased, even the questions he was asking.
Well, and absolutely, they ask questions, kind of gotcha questions of the Republicans, and it's just very evident to me, and it wasn't something that I was looking for. It was kind of like right there in your face that you couldn't help notice it. And it was also in the Arizona debate and also in a lot of other debates. And it's not like there's a liberal and a conservative moderator. It's like a liberal and a more liberal moderator.
Well, I think we're going to see what's going to happen in just a few weeks. And I think it's going to be actually less than a few weeks. I think we're just looking at, about 3 weeks? And we're going to see these elections. And yeah. I'll tell you, here's my perception. Mm-hmm. I do not think we're going to see a blue wave, like they said. There might be some close fights, but I think it'll be more of a red wave than a blue wave. Just saying.
You know, I just don't know. We have had over 800,000 more people register for this election than for the last election that came at the midterm. So there definitely is excitement or interest on both sides part. Who registered? You know, was it more Democrats or Republicans? I don't know.
Well, I'm worried about the illegal alien vote because I just, you know, saw that article from the Heritage Foundation, and they were using just a very upfront, very transparent research company. And I think they said there was something like 5.6 illegal alien.
Million
illegal alien votes during the 2016 election. And I'll tell you what, the thing we have, and I'm scared about these 140 Congress people that voted, said no about the voter ID registration, voting it down. Why would you do that, right?
Unless you were
trying to encourage illegal aliens from voting and changing the entire paradigm of the United States, because that's what would happen.
Well, but that actually is the exact goal. That is why the Democrats don't want the wall. That's why they don't want these immigration laws. That's why they don't want to deport immigrants or DACA, because they want the votes. And the plan was, and I think we've talked about this before, that Hillary had, was to give amnesty, carte blanche, to 11 million illegals living in the country and figure that that would lock them in to being in power through eternity
in the United States. There's no doubt that it would, because we don't have that many voters on the Republican side. Even if you took independents and you took Republicans, including conservatives, and you put them all together, we would not be able to amass 11,000 or 14,000, new voters.
Well, there is so much bad behavior in this election cycle. You cannot turn on the news, look in the paper, look on the internet without story after story after story of bad behavior. And some of the bad behaviors are the different politicians who have been caught lying to the public. So, you know, like Elizabeth Warren with her heritage, like the people that got caught saying, oh, you know, they're for guns and the Second Amendment, but behind the scenes they get caught on camera saying, well, I'm not really, I have to say that for the voters. And then we have, you know, the bad behavior of like this guy in Nevada who was in one of George Soros's group called American Bridge, 21st Century, which is a takeoff out of Soros's bigger group, Media Matters.
Right, and that's funded by the Open Society Foundation.
Which is all Soros.
Well, it's all George Soros. Okay. Sure, so he's the man behind the curtain.
So he's got these operatives out there working at Republican events, and this guy was at a Republican event, and he ended up assaulting a 31-year-old woman that was working for the candidate. And he's under arrest. He got fired from the job. But it's just like you were talking about. It's these ticking time bombs that then take the next step too far. Susan Collins is getting
death threats at her house.
Ricin in envelopes
right
at her house.
Oh, they've got part of her house quarantined.
And
they got her dog quarantined.
Yeah. And I mean, how horrible to do that to her. She was not the only voter there. There were lots of voters. So you can't blame one.
She is a voter that was one of the deciding votes to bring in.
Every vote was a deciding vote.
Well, yeah, you know what? You're right, Linda. But this Collins is more of a Republican and conservative. And I think that's why these people are being targeted. And it's just like we talked about the other night, these ticking time bombs going off left and right. And I predict that the more agitated the far left goes, the more violent they go, the more violent threats, the more in your face, the more harassments, you are going to start setting off spontaneously these ticking time bombs all over the country.
Well, you absolutely are. And you have the alumni of Susan Collins' alma mater fighting to get her honorary degree revoked because of her Kavanaugh vote. You have a Democratic former Labor Party member suspended after saying Republicans should be brought to the guillotines. There's just conversation after conversation after conversation we could have about the bad behavior and the threats to people's well-being.
Well, you know, they're also eating their own. That's how scary they are. They're eating their own because they just fired the executive director of the Allegheny County Democratic Party because he posted a year ago on Facebook, "I stand for the flag and kneel before the cross."
Yes.
And they dumped him because they are resonating with Colin Kaepernick and they found his post racist. I mean, that's a stretch, okay? That is absolutely an insane stretch. And by the way, does that mean that Colin Kaepernick is now the poster child? He's the gold standard of the Democratic Party? The same guy that donated $25,000 to Asada Shakur, the convicted murderer, assassin of a New Jersey state trooper back in 1974? This is the gold standard for the Democratic Party?
Well, I think it's insane. It is insane. And it gets even more insane. We've had numerous people in numerous positions of power in this country, in the DOJ, in the FBI, in the IRS, that have done things to harm conservatives or obstruct them or block them from their goals.
And do you know the name of that gal that they just arrested that works with the Treasury Department?
Yeah, her name is Natalie Mayflower Sowers Edwards.
Well, I think you know a little bit more about that case than I do.
Yeah, she's a senior official at the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, and she was caught red-handed with a flash drive full of information, giving information to reporters. So she was the huge source of a leak to the media of private and confidential financial information.
And her position is that she's a big deal in the fight against financial crime.
Yes.
And then she goes ahead and commits financial crime.
Yep. So she she gave away the financial transactions that involved Paul Manafort, Richard Gates, and that accused Russian agent, Maria Butina, I think her name was. And she was photographing with her telephone and texting these files and documents to reporters. And then also her boss was also involved in this. The boss hasn't been arrested yet, but there's over 300 emails and texts back and forth that really should convict that person.
Yeah, I think they're going to snag him in as a co-conspirator in that.
But she not only leaked information regarding people, and all of it was directed at against Trump.
Of course.
So this is all very directed. And also she leaked sensitive material relating to Russia and Iran and terrorist groups. And, you know, what the heck is going on here? I mean, these jobs used to be prized, and you could just count on these people to keep the confidentiality of the things that they were supposed to keep. And no more.
Well, it's hard to trust these federal agencies now.
Well, it's and why should we?
and I think that they are sadly remiss on the vetting. Okay, I mean, you didn't used to see this kind of stuff happening before, and now all of a sudden it's in your face every single day.
Well, I think that Trump was right from the beginning that the swamp needs to be drained. And the more that we drain, the more creatures we're finding in that swamp. And it's really, really much more widespread and pervasive than I think we ever would have imagined.
And all the way into the White House, because I think Melania was talking about the fact that they can't trust some of the people that they're in their own White House. And, you know, I'm saying to myself, you know, what do I know? But I'm saying to myself, hey, look, I wouldn't have put up with that. If I knew there were people that I didn't trust, if I was president of the United States and there were people in my White House that I couldn't trust, which are some of your closest people, they'd be gone in a heartbeat. Because there's thousands of other people available that are equally, if not better qualified, that could take their places. Now, admittedly, again, there must be a lot of stuff that's going on that you know, us lowly civilians are not privy to. But why put up with that?
Yeah, I don't understand. Let's get some more tea.
Sounds good.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitz your news and entertainment network where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, now that we're settled with tea, I have a few more bad behaviors that are annoying me. So we know that Kavanaugh has had numerous hit pieces done against him. Justice Kavanaugh, and one just came out recently that said that he and his buddies had, they bragged about some relationship with a girl in school, and there was this name that, about the escapades that involved her name, and the New York Times actually put out the, by accident, their source, and then they retracted it, but too bad it was already out, and it was a Democrat, a guy who recently lost a Democratic primary for the Maryland governor, and he is an anti-Trump guy, and he's the guy. So we have our politicians that are putting out these hit pieces on our justice of the Supreme Court.
Well, how does he know Kavanaugh?
I don't know how he knows Kavanaugh, but the girl in question is devastated. And she said, none of this is true. You know, I was never a loose girl in school, and none of this ever happened. And these people are just saying anything that hurts other people in order to try to get some traction on this Kavanaugh story.
Well, you know, we both wrote articles about the whole Kavanaugh thing. I did more of the, you know, forensic investigation side, and you did more of the personal side. But you know, both of us came to the same conclusion that, you know, millions of Americans are coming to the same conclusion of, and that is exactly what you said. They just want to hurt people. They want to destroy lives, destroy families, and just afford this stupid leftist agenda.
Well, and this guy, excuse me, was a Georgetown prep classmate of Kavanaugh, and he's currently a Democratic Maryland state senator. So, you know, but his story is completely and utterly false which is totally unfair to the woman involved and to Justice Kavanaugh as well. Well, Jeff Sessions was talking to the Heritage Foundation in Washington, and he was really complaining about federal judges for their decisions threatening to interfere with the separation of powers by exposing internal White House deliberations. So if you remember, we talked about the case where we want to put in the legality or illegality of citizens on the census for 2020.
Well, just to keep it simple, we want a question that creates a census of how many people are here legally and how many people are here illegally. I think it's extremely important.
Right. So the one who handles that in the government is the Commerce Secretary, who's Wilbur Ross. And so this judge, Jesse Furman, in a New York district, he ruled that Ross could be questioned in an ongoing lawsuit concerning the legality of putting that on the census, which is perfectly legal. It's always been legal. It's been the option of every administration that we've ever had.
And it's executive privilege to be able to put it on. So, and by the way, there is historic precedent and legal precedent for that questioning being there. Now, I think what the Democrats want to do is that has a lot to do with redistricting. But redistricting is only with American citizens. You cannot count illegal aliens in your district because they don't legally exist.
But they do count them because they don't ask the question, so they do get counted.
Well, of course.
So Trump wants to stop that. So now this judge, basically, according to Sessions, he wants to hold a trial over the inner workings of the cabinet secretary's mind, and that's inappropriate.
Well, it's not going to go anywhere, and if it goes up to the Supreme Court, watch how fast that gets kicked back down. All right.
Exactly. And you have judges telling people, like in the DACA litigation, a judge told one of the DOJ litigators, you can't come into court to espouse a position that's heartless. Okay. Not illegal, not unlawful, but heartless.
Well, you beat me to it. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's
you
not.
Can't, you know, you can make an emotional argument, but you just can't use that emotional argument to make foundation as to whether litigation is appropriate or not. Okay, that's not part of the foundation. Is it constitutional or is it not constitutional?
Well, and you know, we had 27 nationwide federal injunctions.
Yeah, you said it right.
Issued by individual judges during Trump's administration, which brought halts to a lot of things that he was trying to do.
Well, especially that judge out in Hawaii.
Yeah, the ban on the Muslim majority
nation.
Yeah. And Sessions is finally standing up to something here, and he's saying that this is unprecedented judicial encroachment. And I agree that the executive branch officers do not work for the judiciary. They work for the president. And my last kind of complaint for today is we have another whole mess that's been created by, you know, just mess ups with people in government. The people that come into our country illegally are given a notice to appear in court, okay? But at that time, there is no time or date on that because they don't know the time or date. And then subsequently, they are sent the time and date to appear. Okay.
And they're released.
And they are released.
On their own recognizance.
And it can be years before they get
this. And try to find them.
Yeah, right. Well, what happened was there was a Supreme Court case recently involving a Brazilian immigrant who had overstayed his visa, and he was put into deportation in proceedings in 2006. So the initial paperwork, which is true to form, did not say the date or time of his appearance. And he said that he never got any subsequent paperwork. Of course, probably they couldn't find him. I don't know what.
Or he moved a couple of different times and he didn't have a forwarding address. There's a whole bunch of different things.
So the Supreme Court ruled that the paperwork failing to designate a time and place didn't constitute a legal notice to appear in court. So what happened was there's this huge legal frenzy with all of these immigration attorneys, and they get 9,000 deportation cases dropped.
And but then, you know, I'm going to tell you something, though, okay? I think that's our fault.
It is our fault, okay. but I'm not done.
Okay.
And then you can say that it's our fault. so then what happened is the Board of Immigration Appeals came back and said, no, no, no. The charging documents issued without a date and time are valid as long as the immigrant received a subsequent hearing notice filling in with the details, which is their normal procedure.
And I would agree with that.
So they cannot just arbitrarily go and dismiss 9,000 cases because a lot of these people did have their subsequent notices.
And you have to look at the papers, what they call the moving papers. You've got to look at those and determine whether they got a follow-up notice with a date and time. If they got a follow-up notice with a date and time to appear in court, they've been duly noticed.
Right.
And you can't throw it out.
Right. So it's caused a whole lot of chaos because, you know, you have one side saying, no, no, this is perfectly clear. And the other side is saying, well, no, we don't know what the Supreme Court meant. And you know that this is all just so much gobbledygook that they do.
Right.
And in the meantime, 9,000 people who are going to be deported are now still in our country.
But that's why, and I think the Department of Justice's and also immigration border customs enforcement are working, I mean, day and night to speed up the deportation process and bring in more immigration judges. And they need, really, to be honest with you, they need probably a few hundred of them. And that way we can catch up and everybody gets a court date. And I understand these immigration hearings actually are fairly quick. Some of them last only a half an hour. But you've got to keep those things going, and you just can't be doing a 9-to-5 routine. You've got to be doing 24/7s and bringing those people in. I know that sounds really strange, but who the heck cares? You get a court date, you get a time, you've got to appear.
Okay, enough about politics and bad behavior. I want to change it up a little bit.
Okay.
You know, this is a really interesting, I always like little medical things from time to time, and this one's really interesting to me. That there's an article that came out that says that 1.1 billion millennials are at risk for a condition linked to dementia.
That's pretty significant.
It is.
Okay, so how does that happen?
And they should take note. Well, it says that when you think about hearing loss, and you probably picture somebody in the later years of life, but what's happening now is with loud music with the earbuds that the kids are using, and they kind of turn up the volume really high, they're really experiencing quite a bit of hearing damage. And about 40 million Americans aged 20 to 69 have hearing damage from everyday loud noise.
Well, I think you and I both suffer from hearing damage. We both wear hearing aids.
Right. Well, we do. We definitely do at times. And I know exactly. In fact, my cause is right in here in the article. But yeah, you can get, you know, you've taught firearms for years. You know, I've helped you with the firearms. And that's really where,
you know your hearing problem came from.
That we got some of this from. But also, you know, now with the advent of really the big thing right now is them cranking up the music in the Bluetooth little earbuds that they
right.
wear and everything.
Right.
Well, the thing is that hearing loss is often related to dementia, so we better start worrying. But you know, I don't know, they don't know if it's the egg or the chicken, right, which comes first, but people with dementia have a higher percentage of hearing loss. And the thing is that if people will pay attention to their hearing, and if they do get some hearing loss, do what we did and go to Costco like we did or somewhere else.
Yeah, they're worth a plug because they just did a fantastic job. I mean, I couldn't have been more impressed that, you know, the Costco in San Antonio, their hearing department, I never saw such sophisticated hearing examinations. And boy, I'll tell you what, I think we got our hearing aids the same day, didn't we?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was very fast.
And I'll tell you what, my life,
easy.
I don't know about you, my life has changed.
Yeah, you can't even see.
We're not yelling at each other anymore.
You know, I don't wear them that often because just because I don't always need to, but some things I do. But the thing is that the article points out is that people, regardless of their age, that if they have some hearing loss, they need to pay attention to it and do something for it. Because if you go ahead and get some hearing aids. You keep those eardrums working, and the longer that you don't take care of it, the worse that they get. And what happens is you don't get the stimulation in your brain that you need. Like people who have hearing loss, you'll find that they tend to tune things out and just kind of live in their own little quiet world.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that can tend you towards dementia.
Well, you know, I want to put in a plug for hearing aids because it really does change your life. You know, when you are walking around, like you said, Linda, and you can't hear things and people are trying to communicate with you and you can't hear them right. And, you know, especially if you're in a real technical area like I am, where every single word is important, especially when I'm being deposed or I have to give testimony and I'm listening to cagey attorneys, you know, trying to trick me up. You've got to have those. And when I got a really solid, good pair of hearing aids, it really is a life changer. And they're so sophisticated now because they are, if a person had hearing aids just a few years ago, I mean, like 5 years ago, they are 10 times better and half the price now than they were just 5 years ago. And then the other thing is that I thought was amazing is now they're Bluetooth. So you can actually program your hearing aids on your cell phone, and that's how I do it.
Right, and they're virtually invisible, especially for women too. So there's not like the stigma like there used to be. But the point is that you need to keep the auditory nerves firing and the hearing neurons working by stimulating them with sound. And if they're not getting any sound, you're not getting that brain working.
I agree. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
That's
so
good.
People need to know that and be aware that they're at risk. I like this little good news story because I'm really tired, and I'm sure you are too, of everybody being called racist in this country. I'm so tired of it. Well, there's in Hanford, California, there's a little boy, Tarek Walker, and he's a little African-American boy, and he was playing basketball with his friends, and he heard a racial slur. And it kind of rose up from this group of other boys that were playing basketball. And so he walks over and he says, "Hey, what's happening?" And they told him to get out, you dumb N-word. And it said it made him feel discouraged and hurt his feelings. But you know what? He didn't make a big deal about it. What he did is he talked about the incident in a video on Facebook. And he said that a lot of other kids, you know, supported him and said that those other kids were wrong. And then he talked to his folks about it. And he was bullied, if you want to call it that, on a Wednesday. And by Monday, he and his parents were passing out free Stop Bullying t-shirts at school. And by the way, October, the month of October, is anti-bullying month. So, you know, they ordered 300 shirts altogether, and they've given them away, and it's something that they brought to people's attention that tearing others down with words or actions is not acceptable, and it's all been in a very positive way. And this kid is just—he's really got a really good attitude about it. He just says he wanted to educate other kids and. That you can either be really negative or you can do it positively. And he did it positively, and kudos to him.
And you know, when I think that kid, after showing that maturity, I think he's going to be a real success in life.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to responsetoactiveshooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, responsetoactiveshooter.com, and be safe out there.
Fair warning here, Ronnie. I'm going to talk about sex.
Oh, God, Linda. I just got a new cup of coffee. I left the tea and went to coffee, so that'll keep me up. So go ahead. Let's talk about my favorite subject.
It is your favorite subject. Well, let's talk about reasons that men cheat.
No. God. All right. Let's have that discussion.
And I'll say, I'll say out front that one of the things that I enjoy about our marriage so very much is that despite the fact that we're often in different places in the country and we're not together always in the same place, there's not been a day of our married life that I have ever worried about you. And, you know, as a woman, I can't tell you how important that is and how much I appreciate that.
Well, no problem. It's actually quite easy, Linda. I'm always worried about being arrested, being accused of stalking, or sexual harassment. So there's not much left for me, Lynn.
You have to worry about all those things now, but gee, thanks for the vote of...
I'm going back to my Kavanaugh days from high school. I'm still waiting for somebody to come forward.
Oh my gosh.
With a complaint.
Well, you know, about 21% of men admit cheating and 19% of women. Although if men cheat, they probably are cheating with a woman. So I imagine that the stats are pretty darn equal.
Yeah. Would you say 21 to 19%?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds
yeah. And
right.
I actually think that that's really low myself. I mean,
well, those are people that just admit to it.
Yeah. I think a lot more people cheat than that. But I'm no cheater. I just think it's really interesting the reasons why people do. And so I was just reading up on some things and found lots of interesting things all having to do with sex. So the first reason, there was like the top 10 reasons of why men cheat. And the first reason is that an ex walked back into the picture, the one that got away. And they remember the spark and they remember how great it was at the time. Of course, they probably forgot why they split up.
But there's the silver lining.
Yeah, there's the recipe for disaster there. But that's listed as one of the reasons why men cheat. Another reason, and you can actually chime in on these too, you know.
Oh, I'll wait until the one resonates with me. Go ahead.
Another reason is that he just wants out. You know, one of the reasons that people cheat is because they just want change and they want out.
Yeah,
and so
I agree with that.
Yeah, they cheat, and if they get caught, then it's, you know, they're going to be out anyway, right?
Well, I think, well, I'm going to use an old statistic, but approximately 56% of married couples in America subsequently get a divorce. That's pretty high. 56% is pretty high.
Yeah.
But I think that as spouses, and I think you and I certainly practice this, you got to give that other person some breathing room, but you have to put a lot, you know, marriage is work. You got to put work into the relationship. And if you're not willing for whatever reason to put work into that relationship, then of course it's going to fall apart. And, you know, one person or the other or both people are going to consider cheating because they're just not happy.
Well, and putting yourself in those situations would kind of be number three there with poor judgment and willpower, where, you know, you might not be a person that has it in their mind to cheat, but you keep putting yourself in places and positions like going to get tequila shots at the bar or, you know, going out with your buddies to a strip joint or whatever. And you keep putting yourself in positions where there's temptation and that can lead to...
Well, I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah. Especially when you involve alcohol and all your defenses are down.
Well, and your inhibitions are down too.
So. Sure. So the next one is just his needs aren't being met. And it could be sexual needs, but it could be any needs that they have in a relationship.
I think a lot of guys that I've spoken with over the years, when you say needs aren't being met, it goes down to emotional needs. You know, guys want to have a wife that expresses that they care about them, they appreciate them, they love them, they don't take them for granted, they don't exploit the economic part of the relationship, and you know, and that's, there's nothing more than that other than catching your wife cheating on you, for at least for a guy, that will turn a guy off more than that.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. But, you know, everybody in a relationship needs to have their needs met. And I always think that it's kind of a circle, that if I meet your needs, you're going to go further towards meeting my needs. And, you know, it just happens that way with the give and take. And when somebody withholds, then the other person withholds, or, you know, it's not a good situation.
And, you know, you talked about something. I want to bring up this that you've talked with our kids, the girls, and telling them don't play games with sex. You know, don't withhold sex. Don't play games with sex, because that's a pretty serious thing.
Right. Don't use sex as a weapon in
your
relationship.
There you go. I think that's better said than me. So.
Yeah. Well, another reason that men cheat is because he's feeling depressed or anxious. And there's all kinds of reasons that men can feel that way. You would know better than me. I can think of things maybe with their job, or being overwhelmed with finances or kids or whatever it is. But the thing is, you know, if you cheat, then you become even more depressed and anxious. So,
well, especially if you get caught, you know?
Yeah.
And then you got to be thinking about that all the time, thinking about, you know, getting discovered. And boy, if you don't think that's going to cause anxiety, you know, it's just not worth it.
Well, I thought that this one was interesting. I'm not sure I agree with it, but I guess it's probably true. You can maybe give me some insight here. Evolution. That every man wants to sleep with as many women as possible, spread his seed, so to speak. And it also says that every woman wants to find that mate and lock him down. I'm not so sure that that's true anymore, but there certainly is a difference psychologically and physiologically between the sexes. So I'm sure that some of that is true.
Well, I don't know how true that is with respect to marriage. Okay, before marriage, I could see that, you know, being the case where guys want to go out and they want to have a lot of different sexual partners, and women want to try to find somebody that they like and then lock them down. I certainly think that's valid, but I don't think it's that valid once both people are married. I don't think that there's a lot of guys after they've gotten married and they've got a nice wife at home that they're going around sowing seeds all over the place. I mean, I'm not going to say that doesn't exist. It certainly does, but not in any great percentage of men that are married.
Well, I don't think this one exists in a great percentage either. And it's interesting that it's even in this study, is that if the guy has psychopathic tendencies, so the guy is just malicious and wants to hurt. He's one of those people that wants to hurt everybody that he's with. And they said, if that's the case, then run. But if that's the case, you probably shouldn't be married to him in the first place, right?
Sure.
Then you have your guys that have sexual problems, that they maybe can't, they have performance issues or whatever. So they might try to get validation by having another partner.
Yeah, I could see that. Sure.
Okay. And then you have people that have a legitimate sex addiction, right? So if they are legitimately...
Like Bill Clinton.
Yeah, there was a couple of movie stars lately that went to therapy for that. It's always in the magazines that they have a legitimate sex addiction. I know sometimes I accuse you of that, but no.
But that's just with you.
Well, then that's
which
a good
is
thing.
A good thing,
and that's
right?
Okay.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, and then you have, you know, and people often that have those addictions just have addictive personalities, so they could be addicted also to cocaine or alcohol or other things, gambling, whatever, because they want that dopamine fix. And the last reason that they cheat, which I thought was one of the most interesting in this survey, is he's a total ass.
So why did you marry him?
I don't get that. Just that he's unafraid of the consequences of having sex out of his marriage.
I think of all of those, that would probably be the less percentage of all of the other nine things that you brought up. I would think that most women would see that after a few dates, that the guy just behaviorally didn't have a great personality. And unless you were a codependent person or a total idiot, why would you continue a relationship, let alone get married to somebody like
well,
that?
Well, and Ron, you just have to admit that there are those people that absolutely do that. And I mean, we can have a whole nother conversation about that. People that marry people or stay around people that they absolutely shouldn't be around.
Well, and you and I in our prior careers have been to more than our share of family disturbances, and we've seen that. And, you know, you walk back to the squad car and you shake your head and you go, they couldn't see that coming? Why did these people get married?
and why do they stay married?
And why do they stay married?
But, you know, there's also some other studies that have been done that I think are really interesting. And so there's a new study that was done that proves that men who have one thing have better sex lives than other men.
Okay, and what you're going to ask me?
Here.
Are you going to okay? you're asking me?
What
would it be?
Do you have a thought?
Let's see. Money?
Oh. No, I never would have thought of that.
Big feet, so to speak? Height?
No,
you're hair. He's all the things that I don't have. But the good part is I get plenty of sex. I'm not worried about it.
No.
Come on. Now you got me. So, now I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about.
So there's a Japanese sexual health and wellness company called Tenga, and they did a big study, and they released the reports, and they did it on 13,000 adults between 18 and 74 across 18 countries. And it focused on how men viewed having and expressing feelings and the result this attitude had on their well-being. So if I was going to just encapsulize this, I would say that men that aren't from the Stone Ages and think that, you know, they should be carrying women around by their hair, but can communicate and, you know, for lack of a better thing to say, I don't even like the phrase, in touch with their feelings. But guys,
you mean like an old Morris Albert one-hit wonder song? Feelings.
Yeah, kind of, no, not like that. But, you know, just the guys that are more in touch with their emotions and that they're comfortable in talking about personal challenges or feelings and the a little bit different than the traditional masculine type of thing that we would be looking at.
Yeah, chicks did that. You know,
but
scars and feelings.
No, it's not what the chicks dig. It's that the guys can relate better to the women and they can relate better to each other, and therefore it makes it more comfortable and natural for them to have sexual relations. And I think that makes a lot of sense.
I would agree with that.
And by the way, you're a guy that is totally in touch with your feelings, yet you're a very masculine guy. So, you know, it obviously works.
Holy cow. Man, you know what? Tomorrow when you come home, there's going to be flowers.
Oh, cool. Hey, I have a bouquet here in the house, and I have one at the office.
Yeah, so. But you got one for Boss's Day. I got nothing.
I did. I got...
Well, it just shows that your staff loves you.
I got flowers from my staff.
And they had nice emails.
Yes.
I read the emails.
It was very, very unexpected. But anyway, guys need to get in touch with their feelings and talk more with their women, and they will get more sex because of it. And guess what? We talked about this before, and that sex has some very good healing tendencies in your body, right? So sex keeps you young. How many times a week?
So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How old do you really think I am?
25.
There you go. That's the right answer.
Okay, so we remember that it relieves stress, improves sleep, lowers blood pressure.
It does all of
it
that.
It helps your skin. It does boost your immunity.
I go out like a light. As you know.
Okay. So, but anyway.
I just skip the cigarette phase and go straight out.
they just did a study on how often do you have to have sex to realize all of these benefits.
I would think, I'm talking about personal experience here, but I would think you'd probably want to have sex about 4 times a week.
And you would think that.
To get all the benefits. Okay? And of course, the more sex, the more benefits.
The more benefits. Well, and that's probably true. But to get the benefits, to slow down aging, the minimum amount of times would be once a week.
Oh, I couldn't make that. Listen, you and I were talking about something a while ago that you brought up about, it was a couple that decided they were going to have sex every single day, whether they wanted to or needed to or not.
Right.
Didn't we have that conversation?
Right. I had read an article, over a year ago about a couple that did that, and they had had some marital problems and sexual problems, and they wanted to fix them, and this was suggested to them, and they did it, and they had just absolutely fantastic results for their relationship and for their feelings of well-being in their life.
Yeah. And you know what? Let me add something too, because and it's about losing weight and getting more sex. Because I will speak just as a guy, you know, dropping a few pounds helps your sex life.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Well, for all kinds of reasons, and
yeah,
all the reasons that we've talked about, you know. So there's really nothing bad that happens from sex, unless, you know, you are in the position to get pregnant or something you don't want to be. But no, all kinds of good benefits from it. So once a week was what the study said, at least once a week. And this is starting from, you know, when you're a little younger. And I, you know, I want to just switch gears for 1 second, because I want to say one last thing to you that it's kind of my hero of the day, Ron.
Sure.
And I think that this is just so, so cool. Speaking of women, Laura Richardson is the first woman to lead the largest command in the U.S. Army. And she just broke the glass ceiling in the Army. And she is going to be the U.S. Army Forces Commander, FORCECOM. She's going to be leading the largest command in the Army, representing 776,000 soldiers and 96,000 civilians.
96,000 civilians,
yep,
on top of the 700-something,
yes,
thousand soldiers?
Yeah, she had other firsts
as well.
That's
a huge command.
Yep, she's been in the Army since 1986, and in 2012, she was the first deputy commanding general for the 1st Cavalry Division, known as America's First Team. And she is going to be replacing the U.S. Army FORCECOM person, who is, his name is Abrams, who is taking over the United States Armed Forces in Korea. So she is taking over for him. He steps down at that job, and kudos and congratulations to the very first woman to lead the largest command in the U.S. Army.
And my personal salute to her. How about calling it a night, young lady?
You got it.